Our Heavenly Father, today we stand steadfast in your presence and we're reminded of how much you watch out for us and how much you love us. To see the answered prayers that we get to celebrate today with laughter and joy and tears, and to realize that the things that we've asked for, you've always been there answering our prayers, even when we don't know it. Father, I thank you today that you give us this opportunity to worship you. And I pray today that we would fall in love with our family members and our church family members, but most importantly, that we would fall in love with you. And I pray that this relationship would grow and deepen. And I pray, Father, today that you would help us to seek you out in all that we do. Father, we bring this offering and this tithe before you with gratitude and thanksgiving. And we recognize you and we honor you for the ways that you bless us each and every day. Help us to not forget this, I pray. But let these things sustain us. Be with everyone that's out doing your work. And Father, I pray that we would know today that every single person gathered here is a minister in your name and that we are called to go out and spread that good news. Father, I thank you for the opportunities that you'll provide us to do this. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. There are so many people right now panicking, thinking, what happened to Covell Community Church? So we are not live, Jillian, is that correct? Okay, all right. Well, last week we talked about our desired delivery from sin to salvation, ultimately to heaven, a deliverance that was both spiritual and special. As part of that discussion, if you remember, we talked about the tracking process of our transformation from our origin of sin to the concept of things like propitiation. We talked about redemption, reconciliation, justification, adoption, sanctification, both positional and experiential, and then finally and ultimately glorification when we finally get to heaven. This delivery process only is available through and by God's grace and our love for Jesus. It is spiritual, it is special, and yet many people will ask today, so many people want to know today, what about the physical? Where is my special physical delivery? Where is my healing? Why am I hurting, questioning, struggling, and suffering? If I have been delivered spiritually, why have I not yet been delivered physically? You know, for every great biblical physical delivery story, and there are many, Lot's family, Genesis 19:16, with the exception of his wife, Joseph, Genesis 50:20, Job 42 verse 10, Noah, Genesis 6:18, Elijah, 1 Kings 17:4, David from Goliath, Daniel from the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. For every great physical, biblical delivery story, there is a John the Baptist who was beheaded, Matthew 14:10, Peter who was imprisoned, Acts 12:4, Paul who was beaten and imprisoned, Acts 16:23, Stephen, Acts 7, stoned and killed. James, Acts 12:2, murdered and martyred. These men were spiritually delivered. But they were not delivered physically from what we can perceive and what we can see. The question is, why did those men have to struggle and suffer? Why do we? I want to look at our sermon text today to better understand this special physical delivery and to help us better understand all of these difficult questions. So here's what we're going to do. We're in Romans 8, 17 through 39. It is a large passage, so we are going to segment it out so we don't get lost here. Let's start with verse 17. That's where it begins. Here's what Paul says. He says, and since we are his, meaning God's children, since we are his children, we will share his treasures, for all God gives to his son Jesus is now ours too. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, and this is not the end of the reading of his word. There's going to be a lot of Bible today. You see, suffering, folks, originated with man's sin. We saw that and we talked about that last week as the origin of man. We are born into sin. It is what we call original depravity. We know that we have original sin. Unfortunately, we don't like it. We just have to accept it. Now, with that being said, based on what we talked about last week, we can also see when we read verses 20 and 21 of our sermon text, what this sin looks like. Here's what it says. Starting with verse 20, on that day, thorns and thistles, sin, death, and decay, the things that overcame the world against its will at God's command, will all disappear, and the world around us will share in the glorious freedom from sin which God's children enjoy. In Genesis 3, we go all the way back. Adam and Eve's disobedience and grievous sin led to a long line and lineage of suffering and struggling and death for all of man. And thus the reason that Jesus was delivered to the cross physically and spiritually for all of us. He had to be that final, last time, blood-atoning sacrifice to deliver man spiritually and eternally. You see, Jesus suffered and he struggled physically so that he and his heavenly Father could ultimately deliver us spiritually. We must share that suffering. Now, Paul identifies this. He says in Philippians 1, 29 and 30, he says, for to you has been given the privilege not only of trusting him, but also of suffering for him. We are in this fight together, Paul says. You have seen me suffer for him in the past, and I am still in the midst of a great and terrible struggle now, as you know so well. Matthew 10, 38. Jesus says, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. Now let's talk about this cross for a moment. You see, many people equate Christianity with a cross. And many people think about Jesus hanging from a cross, but what we may not realize or remember is that Jesus was literally too weak and broken to carry the cross, and thus Simon of Cyrene had to carry the cross. The burden was tremendous. The burden today would be almost unbelievable to all of us. And yet we are called to carry the cross. Now what that means, folks, is that there's going to be toil and trial and struggle. And we are called to carry that cross daily, especially when we have been delivered spiritually. The question is, are we willing to carry the cross? You see, because Paul was delivered spiritually, he better understood why he had to struggle and suffer physically. I'm going to read something from Philippians 3, verse 10. And here's what that passage says. Short verse, he says this. He says, I have given up everything else. He says, I found it to be the only way to really know Christ and to experience the mighty power that brought him back to life again and to find out what it means to suffer and to die with him. Now, Paul understood this because Paul had a special spiritual relationship with Jesus. Paul got it. When we read 2 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 7, and folks, you may remember this passage. This is your thorn in the flesh passage that we know so well. Here's what Paul says. He says, I was given a physical condition, which has been a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to hurt and bother me and prick my pride. Three different times, listen to these words, three different times I begged God to make me well again. Each time God said no. But I am with you, and that's all you need. My power shows up best in weak people. Now I'm glad, says Paul, to boast about how weak I am. I'm glad to be a living demonstration of Christ's power instead of showing off my own power and abilities. Since I know it is all for Christ's good, I'm quite happy about the thorn and about insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The less I have, the more I depend on him. When is the last time you could say that you or I depended on him? We do it when we are weak because we know that he is strong. These words remind us that Paul was delivered spiritually and thus was better to understand and accept his physical maladies. Paul was not delivered from his thorn in the flesh, but that does not mean that we will not be. If we have been delivered spiritually, the question abounds. Why have we not been healed and helped and delivered physically? To answer this question, we have to identify and address many potential reasons, starting with our own sins. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's make sure we understand this. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, we knew at that point that we needed God's Son. We needed the perfect, final, one-time blood atoning sacrifice. Because sin brought on death. Sin caused physical death. And today, one thing that we all share, people say two things you share, death and taxes. I can promise you, we'll have to deal with both. Someday, we will all have to deal with physical death. The beauty of that is, but because of what Jesus Christ did and because of how we can believe in him and love him and cherish him and live for him, we can experience eternal life. But it starts with sin. When we look at our physical delivery, we understand that our physical delivery probably should start with something called spiritual delivery. Many people say, I don't get it. I've gone to God, I've prayed to God, I've looked to God, I've talked to God, I've asked God, and I've not been healed. Why is that? And you can look at someone who says that and you can say, well, let's start with the concept or topic of sin. They're not going to like it too much. We don't like it too much. But this is something that no one talks about too much. We have got to deal with the topic of sin. James says in James 5:16, he says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, listen to this, so that you may be healed. Thorns and thistles. I walked beans as a kid on the farm. I hate thorns and thistles. I couldn't stand them. Thorns and thistles, death and decay, that isn't fun. And then that fifth one, sin. These are things that come from original sin. David said in Psalm 139, 23 and 24, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I love Psalm 66:18. If someone says, I'm struggling physically, and I don't know why I'm struggling physically, and I don't know why God will not heal me, and I keep praying and I don't think he's listening to me, share with them Psalm 66:18. It says this, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. You see, folks, when we cherish sin, regard sin, when we love our sin and cling to our sin, it is very possible that God will not listen. How do we get delivered physically? Let's first be delivered spiritually. You see, folks, sin separates us from God's Son. It always has. In the Garden of Eden, we saw this separation, man from God, because of sin. Sin separates us from God's Son. We must choose to be close to be delivered from the healer and the deliverer. We have to be close to him. Let me give you an example. Can you imagine if you're out working in the lawn? This happened to us, so this is why I know this. You're working in the lawn, you're trimming bushes, and all of a sudden you almost cut your finger off. It actually happened to me. And so I'm freaking out, blood's going everywhere. Can you imagine if I would have called the hospital and said, listen, I'm getting a little lightheaded, I'm losing blood, my finger's dangling here, I was cutting shrubs, and I call the hospital and they say, do you have Band-Aids? And I would say, yeah, and they'd say, just throw one of those on, you'll be fine. Wrap it in a towel. Is it hanging, dangling? You don't need to come see us. I'm guessing that wouldn't happen. I'm guessing what they would say is, if you've lost your finger, if it's hanging on, if you're losing blood, if you feel like you're losing your life, what would they say? Come see us. If you can't see us, we will bring an ambulance to you so we can get you to us. There is a reason why we go to the hospital when we are sick. We have to be close to the healer. Sin separates us from God's Son. If you say, I want to be physically delivered, we need to be spiritually delivered. We need to be close to the Son who is the healer and the deliverer. And so many people say, I don't get it. I don't feel close to God and I don't feel close to his Son. And it might just be because of our sin. Confess it, repent of it, move past it, and choose never to do it. This is what we're called to do. R.J. Hammer, regarding the notion of suffering and struggling physically due to sin, he once said this about that. He says, traditional teaching had asserted that all suffering and misfortune were the visible signs of the wrath of God upon human sin. He goes on, he says, the logical corollary of this would be that the wicked should be sufferers in some form or another, and the righteous should always enjoy health and prosperity. Experience, however, did not seem to corroborate that theory, unfortunately. And a lot of people say, man, I wish it was that way. Now, let me give an example of many people who thought it was that way. That would be Job's four friends. If you read the book of Job, you realize that he really got some pretty bad advice. These friends were convinced that Job's suffering stemmed from Job's sinning. In fact, these four friends were so convinced that that's all they talked about. You see, God showed them, in Job 40, verse 7, that those four friends were wrong. Is it possible, folks, that our physical struggles are directly linked to unconfessed, unrealized, unrepentant, or simply the consequence of our sins? The answer is yes, but not always. Let's move on. Why else might we not experience physical delivery? Why might we not have been delivered physically? Let's look at 22 through 25 of our sermon text. Paul says, "For we know that even the things of nature, like animals and plants, suffer in sickness and death as they await this great event. And even we Christians, although we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, also groan to be released from pain and suffering. We too wait anxiously for that day when God will give us our full rights as his children, including the new bodies he has promised us, bodies that will never be sick again and will never die. We are saved by trusting. And trusting means looking forward to getting something we don't yet have. For a man who already has something doesn't need to hope and trust that he will get it. But if we must keep trusting God for something that hasn't happened yet, it teaches us to wait patiently and confidently." Besides sinfulness and during our struggle, let me ask you this. Have we been faithless? Matthew 9, 18 through 31. Jesus healed a woman who internally bled and a man who was physically blind. What did Jesus say to them as he healed them? He says, "Your faith has healed you. Because of your faith, it will happen." Do we have faith in our great healers and our great deliverers? Do you believe that your healing can happen? Do you believe that God can physically deliver you from your condition? That's faith. David had it. In fact, David told Goliath in 1 Samuel 17:46, he says, today the Lord will conquer you. Now think about this, little David standing before the giant who was taking on the big Philistine who was willing to take on all the Israelites. And David goes before the giant, everybody else afraid of him. And David approaches him and he says, "Today the Lord will conquer you." That's faith. That is faith amidst a struggle, and that is faith amidst a trial. Do we have faith in our great healers and our great deliverers? Peter did. In Acts chapter 3, 1 through 16, a lame man was able to walk again, and Peter, participating in this great event, said this. He says to the crowds who gathered, because they couldn't believe it, and he says this as he's telling them, he says, "Faith in Jesus' name, faith given us from God, has caused this perfect healing." What is your physical trial or struggle? And where is our faith? Do we have it? Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verse 7, he says, "These trials are only to test our faith, to see whether or not it is strong and pure. It's being tested as fire tests gold and purifies it. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried in the test tube of fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory on the day of his return." Folks, we have displayed faith with so many individuals who have gone before God, who literally have sought help from the great deliverer. It's happened here. People who have struggled physically with illness and sickness and disease, people who feel like they've lost their families, we have prayed and we have believed that God would deliver them and he would help them. And today we bear witness to what Jesus can do for us. That's faith. Are we faithless? Are we faithful? Do we believe that Jesus can do this? Folks, I'm going to ask you a very difficult question, and this is not an easy one to ask. How many people needed to struggle and suffer physically so they could faithfully either come back or come to God spiritually and humbly? How many people today would say, "Because I was weak, he made me strong"? You see, here's the way we do this, folks. I think in many cases when we need physical delivery, instead of going to the Bible, we go to the bottle. And I don't mean this bottle. I mean the genie bottle. So instead of the Bible, we go to the bottle, and here's what we do. We rub the proverbial bottle, and we expect God to come out in his booming voice, looking like a genie and saying, "What can I do for you?" And you say, "Well, I'm bad. I'm in bad shape. I am physically bad." And he says, "I will give you 7 wishes." And you say, "Just hold the 6. I just need 1. Just make me well." And when he answers our prayers, what do? We don't go to the Bible. We shove him right back into the bottle. Put the cork on and say, "Listen, the next time I need you, God, I'll rub that bottle. The next time I think about you, God, I will not read my Bible." Folks, this is an epidemic that's happening all over churches today. What other things might be hindering our physical delivery? Well, we've talked about sinfulness and faithlessness. What about this thing called impatience? 3 times, 4 verses, 22 through 25, we see the words either await or wait. David said in Psalm 40, verse 1, he says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry." Paul said in Romans 12, 12, "Be patient in trouble and prayerful always." How many people appreciate slow delivery? We love it, don't we? Come on. We hate slow delivery. Can you imagine ordering a pizza and they say, "Thank you so much. We'll be there in less than 3 hours. I'm guessing you would not want the pizza. I'm guessing you'd cancel the delivery. How many people, when asked, when they say, "How would you like it delivered?" you say, "As slow as possible. Take your time." "Well, I'm in no hurry." Like, what do you mean? "Well, 21 days. No, do 21 months. I'm fine. Take your time." Let's do a little marketing fun here, right? I'm in marketing. Let's see if you can finish this sentence. Jimmy John's subs so fast, you'll freak. Good job. Well done. It works. Marketing works. Can you imagine if Jimmy John's said, "Subs slow, so slow, you'll boil. Subs so slow, you'll freak out because you'll never get your sandwich." Let me tell you something. They know what they're doing. They know you want fast food, right? We are in a fast food society. There is a company in Bloomington Normal called Speedy Delivery. You think that they stumbled upon that name by accident? I think they put a lot of thought to it and said, "Let's just put it all over our trucks. Then they'll know how fast we are." Here's another one. UPS. You're going to love this. UPS actually has a service, a delivery service. If you think UPS is fast, they've created a new service called Express. If I stop there, you'd be like, "Ooh, Express Critical." It's true. You can call UPS and say, "Hey, I would like to order my item. I would like it delivered Express Critical." What does that mean? Do they bring it in an ambulance? I mean, this is where we're at. Express Critical. Crazy. Our physical trials and our struggles are always in our minds critical. We always go to God and say, "Wait a second, you're going to deliver me? Do it now. My trial, my struggle, my toil is critical, God. Deliver me now." Have you ever said, "God, take your time. I feel terrible, but you know what? A couple more days like this, I should be fine. Just take your time." We don't do that. We want delivered quickly. We are impatient people. James said in James 1, 2 through 4, and these are powerful words. He says, "Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations?" All of us right now are saying, "Yeah, it is." He says, "Then be happy. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow. Don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you'll be ready for anything. Strong in character, full and complete." That's where I want to be. Those are powerful words. Before we're delivered, perhaps we just need to be better developed. Romans 12, 12. Paul says, "Be patient in trouble." There's a second part to that. Paul says, "And also be prayerful always." Is our lack of physical delivery caused by what we would call prayer negligence? We already talked about impatience. What about prayer negligence? Listen to 26, 27 of our sermon text. "And in the same way, by our faith, the Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems and in our praying. For we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how to pray as we should. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with such feeling that it cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts," knows, of course, what the Spirit is saying, "as he pleads for us in harmony with God's own will." Folks, spiritual delivery enhances our praying. In fact, it's really interesting because the Holy Spirit not only helps in being our deliverer, but according to these verses, he's also our prayer partner. Many people say, I need better prayer time. I need more prayer time. Tomorrow night, you're going to get that opportunity. Tomorrow night, we're going to get to experience a lot of spiritual and physical delivery because we are going to get to go to God in prayer. It's a privilege. He's our prayer partner. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, always keep on praying. Ephesians 6:18, he says, pray all the time. Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. And don't forget to thank him for his answers. Folks, I can look every single one of you in the eye because in many cases, I've been in the hospitals with you. I've been on the phones with you. I've been on email with you. I have been on Facebook with you. And I can assure you that when I tell you I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you. Why? Because God loves me and I love you. That's my responsibility. I'll never stop praying for you because I know what God can do. We have so many miracles in this church today. Why? Because people prayed for you in those difficult days. That's what prayer does. Paul, in all of his physical struggles and trials, knew that he needed prayer. Do we realize what Paul went through? He tells us, 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 29, if you think your life is bad, listen to this. This will make you feel better. You can leave today and say, wow, at least I'm not Paul. Here's what he went through. He says, I was in constant danger of death. He suffered through 39 lashes. He was beaten with rods. He was once stoned and three times shipwrecked. He says, night and day I spent on an open sea. I experienced danger from flooded rivers, stormy seas, mobs, and robbers. I experienced sleepless nights, cold and thirst and hunger. He carried the cross. You know what else he did? He prayed. He's the guy that tells us, just keep praying. What else might hinder our physical delivery? Don't we exhibit some level of selfishness? We've talked about this. Matthew 22, 37 through 40, the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Jesus knew. He knew. He knew that we were selfish, and he knew that we loved ourselves. And here's what we know. Because in many ways, I think we say this, God, my will is to be made well. My will. You realize Jesus' model prayer was this. Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This was actually displayed at the near pinnacle of Jesus' physical trial and struggle. This is where he was sweating great drops of blood before his arrest and trial and crucifixion. In Luke 22:42. If you remember these words, he says, Father, if you are willing, there's the word, if you are willing, you are willing, take this cup of horror from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Listen to Romans 8:28 through 30. We know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into his plans. You see, his plans means his will. And that is something that we have to be okay with. For from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, and all along he knew who would, should become like his son, so that his son would be the first with many brothers. And having chosen us, he called us to come to him. And when we came, he declared us not guilty, filled us with Christ's goodness, and gave us right standing with himself, and promised us, we talked about this last week, promised us his glory, that glorification is going to come when we get to heaven. This is what we know. Do we trust his plan? Do we believe in his will? God is good. Now I'm going to ask you a second difficult question. And this one is really difficult. And it's not easy to ask, and it's even harder to consider. What if all of us would say that we've repented of our sinfulness, that we have proclaimed over and over our undying faith in Jesus? In our struggles, we've remained patient. In our prayers, we've never been negligent. We've always asked according to his will. And we keep asking to be made well. And we're still not well. We've done all of these things, and we're still not well. What next? Why, God, am I not being delivered from this? We must trust in God's earthly higher purpose and never forget about God's heavenly prepared place. Let's finish our sermon text today with verses 31 through 39. What can we ever say to such wonderful things as these? If God is on our side, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son for us, but gave him up for us all, won't he also surely give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? Will God? Nope. He's the one who's forgiven us and given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? Will Christ? No. For he is the one who died for us and came back to life again for us and is sitting at the place of highest honor next to God, pleading for us there in heaven. Who then can ever keep Christ's love from us? When we have trouble or calamity, when we are hunted down or destroyed, is it because he doesn't love us anymore? And if we're hungry or penniless or in danger or threatened with death, has God deserted us? No. For the scriptures tell us that for his sake we must be ready to face death at every moment of the day. We're like sheep awaiting slaughter, but despite all this, listen folks, verse 37, despite all this, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us enough to die for us. I am convinced, verse 38, that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't and life can't. The angels won't and all the powers of hell itself cannot keep God's love away. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, or where we are, high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ when he died for us. Folks, we live in a speedy delivery society where we are made well by a pill. I can tell you, I experienced it today. I woke up terrible, horrible, awful, crashing headache. What do? 3 ibuprofen and let's go do this. That's what we do for Jesus. And when we feel bad and we need to be made well, typically we say, I want it to happen quickly, so we take a pill. And I can tell you that our physical delivery may not happen that quickly. And there is no pill, because what God can do is greater than any pill, and what God can do can make us eternally and spiritually and physically and altogether well. And I trust God to do it. And I trust Jesus Christ, because I know that he has a capability to handle it. This is what we know today. Daniel was delivered from the lion's den. Daniel 6, 18 through 28. But he still had to go through the den. God delivered Daniel. Listen to this, folks. He delivered Daniel, but here's where it gets really good. He also delivered a lot of people, including King Darius, who decreed this. That wasn't all. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were delivered from the flaming furnace, but they still had to stand in the fiery furnace, Daniel 3. And people were saved because of this. Evil King Nebuchadnezzar recognized the power of God because of this. I have stood over bedsides. I have prayed for people in this church who have been sick and hurting and struggling. And you know what my prayer is, folks? God heal them and then allow them to minister to others and bring others to Jesus Christ. And I get to see it happen. And I get to watch it happen. And I get to see you people, once you're healed and once you're delivered, I get to see you go out and minister. And that is when I know that we are reaching others. That is what we are called to do. Stephen was stoned to death, but many people believe that that event helped bring the Apostle Paul to eternal life. Higher purpose of God and Jesus. While we might not be delivered physically from our struggle or trial that plagues us, it is possible that God's purpose is to bring us and to bring others to Jesus because of this. And if that's the case, we have to be okay with this. Look at verse 30. Verse 30, one more time. It says, having chosen us, he called us to come to him, and when we came, he declared us not guilty. He filled us with Christ's goodness. He gave us right standing with himself, and he promised us his glory. A 4-year-old boy in Paynet, Illinois, this week, out in the lawn with his mom and dad, and he said, I'm going to run around the house. Dad, I'm going to go swing. Dad turns around 3 minutes later, swing's not swinging. Dad goes around, his football coach, head football coach, Paynet High School, finds his son in the pool, drowned. Goes and retrieves his son, football coach, has to know CPR, right? Pulls the boy out, administers CPR as long as he can. Gets a heartbeat going. They rush him to St. John's Hospital in Springfield. Brain dead. You say, that's a tragic and terrible story. These people had faith. They knew that there was a reason for this. They knew there was a purpose for this. And they did not waver from their faith in Jesus. And a little four-year-old girl in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, got his heart. And so today, that little girl lives. But it took this little boy to die. Now, those people are struggling, and they're grieving, and they're hurting. But I guarantee you this, they are strong because of Jesus. This, folks, this is why we can get through this. Peter said in 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12, he says, friends, this world is not your home. It's not. Hebrews 13, 14, for this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Can I share something with you? Do you know what the dad said? He lost his son. You know what the dad said? The dad said, now he's with my mom. My mom needed him. My mom is enjoying him. That's what he said. Think about that. Let me ask you something. You ever sold a home? Ever sold a home? Never had to sell a home? You ever had to sell a home? Let me tell you what happens. You meet with a realtor. I was a realtor at one time. I was a bad realtor. You meet with a realtor, and here's what happens. The realtor will come to you, and they're going to say this. They're going to look at your home, and they're going to do this. They're going to give you an examination of your house, and they're going to say this. They're going to say, you need to check it. You need to fix it. You need to organize it. You need to model it so I can show it and hopefully sell it. Did you hear the word hopefully? Because the realtor will say, if you do all of these things, there's a better chance that I can sell your home. But there's no guarantee that I can sell your home. And folks, here's what I will tell you. If we repent, if we're faithful, if we're patient, if we're prayerful, if we are selfless and we live according to his will, it will give us a better chance of physical delivery because we are getting closer to our Savior and our Deliverer. Can I guarantee you that you will be delivered physically? No. But I guarantee this, I guarantee you that you will live eternally if you are delivered spiritually. It's the greatest thing I can tell you. It's the greatest thing I can give you. It's the greatest gift I can present you because this is not our home. Don't store up all your treasures for this home. As we said last week, we have a special, spiritual, powerful deliverer who can deliver us from sin to salvation, ultimately to heaven. Verse 34, who will condemn us? Will Christ? No, he's the one who died for us and came back to life again for us, is sitting at the place of highest honor next to God, pleading for us there in heaven. He wants us with him. If we choose to love him and live for him and believe in him, we are assured of a heavenly home and an earthly hope. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, he says, brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. You've seen unbelievers who've been delivered, and I can tell you this, unbelievers, folks, unbelievers might be physically delivered, but they will never be spiritually delivered if they don't believe in Jesus, trust in Jesus, love Jesus, live for Jesus, and they will never enter heaven because of this. Their fate, their hope, and their home is in hell. My wife says, you're really black and white. There's no gray area. You see, folks, we have an earthly hope for an eternal home. And if we don't trust in Jesus, believe in Jesus, live for Jesus, and love Jesus, there is no hope and there is no eternal home. You say, I want to be physically delivered. I tell you this, ask to be spiritually delivered. Follow Jesus Christ and make him your Lord. Regarding your physical deliverance, brothers and sisters and fellow believers, you might or you might not be made well. But you will always be cared for because you are loved and you are planned for. And you as believers will always be part of his perfect, holy will. Verse 18, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will give us later. What we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will give us later. Our hope is down here. Our home is up there. And so today I thank you, Heavenly Father. I thank you, Lord and Savior, for being our deliverers. Today, believers, we have hope. And today, believers, we have an eternal home. I will pray for your physical delivery, but I will moreover pray for every person in this church, spiritual delivery, because I know that that is the most important delivery that we can seek as God's family. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer. You will notice first Sunday of the week, our first Sunday of the month, which means that we have purged our list. We didn't forget about you. This is just protocol. So if you have needs, you want those needs brought up again, bring them on. We will pray for you. We promise to do that. In addition, this family in Pena, I would encourage you to pray for them. I can't imagine the pain and the hurt that they are feeling or they're dealing with. Also, for everybody affected with these shootings, these mass shootings that we've seen throughout our nation, pray for the victims and those who are dealing with loss and tragedy. This is a difficult, difficult thing. And people say, why? And I say, it's because of sin. It's sin. And this is what sin looks like. And this is what sin does. So let's pray for all those individuals now. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you that we can come before you and we can ask you to make us well. But I pray, Father, today that we will never forget to ask, that it would be according to your will. Father, we want to be delivered physically, but today I pray that we will see the utmost importance of being delivered spiritually. I pray that we will not put our stock in this home. I pray that our emphasis will not be on things that are earthly, but rather things that are eternal. Father, I pray today that you would help us to see that we need you, and in our time of physical need, that we will come before you. But I pray today that we will relent of our sins and repent of our sins, get rid of them. I pray that we will not be selfish. I pray that we will not be negligent in prayer. I pray that we will not be impatient. Father, I pray today that you would help us to be faithful. And I pray that you will help us to trust in you, to deliver us from our trials and our struggles. Father, help us to see that what we are going through might just be according to your will to bring others to you. We know that your will be done, and I pray that we will allow your will to be done. And help us, I pray, each day to live perfectly in your will. Father, I ask today that you'll be with those who are hurting and grieving and suffering. This family that had this tragic loss of their 4-year-old son, I can't imagine the pain and the suffering that they're dealing with. Father, I pray that you'll lift them up. I pray that you'll be with every single family member, friend, caregiver, lover, every single person that has someone who has been involved in these shootings. And I pray today, Father, that they would heal. Father, I ask today that our faith will not waver. I pray that you'll make us stronger. I pray today that every person here would commit to being a disciple, and that means that you would teach us to be able to go out and teach others. When someone will come to us, Father, and they will say, why am I going through this? I pray that you will give us the power and the faith to deliver this message to them who are suffering and struggling. And I pray that we will use your word, the Bible, not that proverbial bottle. Father, I thank you for everything that you've blessed us with. And today, for every single person who's hurting and grieving, be with them, lift them up, encourage them, I pray. And I pray that their ministry will be realized through this pain. I pray that you'll be with those especially who are facing life and death by simply worshiping you in countries where they will kill them. I pray that you'll be with them. And Father, today I pray that as we close this service, that we will not stop worshiping you. This is where it begins. This is not where it ends. Father, I pray today that you will help us to take our worship everywhere we go. Let people see Jesus in us, we pray. Thank you for every opportunity that you've blessed us with. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Well, folks, we have no screens. So that means we have no song except a hymn. Now, Velma, you were so kind to meet the needs of my wife, who was very excited about that song. It takes us back to our radio station days. So, Velma, you're our great pianist. You're wonderful. We love you. Would you choose our closing song? And I'm guessing maybe you already have. I knew you have. Okay. It is Velma's call, and we're going with it. 598. Let's do it. Let's all stand. So, Jillian, I have a question for you, sweetie. So, did we record any of that? Okay, so it's recorded for our website. It'll be on our website. Is that accurate? Okay, good. Good, good, good. All right. Yeah, last night we finished. So I'm going to share this. Last night, the girls get to live ministry each and every day. And my mom was crying last night. She said, I can't imagine how difficult that is. And girls, you know how difficult that is. But we were talking last night, and I said, I gave this sermon to them. So what we do as a family, Saturday nights. And I said, Jillian, Jada, how can you, did I not? I said, how can you use this? And we kind of role-played it. Someone comes up and says, I've prayed, I've asked, I'm not being delivered, I don't get it, I love God, I don't get it. And we role-played this entire sermon through. So hopefully, folks, if there's someone you know that's struggling and hurting and you say, I'm doing everything I can, it's not working, I hope that you'll feel confident enough and comfortable enough to direct them to this sermon, and I pray that is why the scriptures are listed. This is a great, it's a great time for us to really know and understand how to minister to these people. Everybody, it's like Jillian said yesterday, she said, this applies to everybody. Everybody's hurting, everybody's struggling. We need to know how to minister to them and how to give them the truth that's in the Bible, not the genie that's in the bottle. And so with that said, I hope that we can grow and learn from this. And I again, Jillian, we're thinking Facebook Live second service? Maybe? Probably not? Okay. All right. Okay. So, last thing, Jillian, thanks for doing that. Last thing, I really, really, really want you to, I want to encourage you, and I'm going to be very honest and open with you. We've got just about 2 minutes here. Cam, you get to hear this as well. Our church is under attack. And you say, oh, come on, it's just a pastor talk. I'm telling you right now, it is under attack. This has been an incredibly challenging week. You may say, I felt it too. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to read my Bible. I feel like I'm far away from God. Let me tell you something. What is happening here? And when we're under attack, I don't want you to be dissuaded. I don't want you to feel like you're disillusioned. There's a reason why. Because we are growing in faith, folks. And when we grow in faith and we grow closer to Christ, Satan will attack us. Satan does not want us close to Jesus. There is a reason why that sermon did not go out on Facebook today. I'm convinced. I believe this. I believe there's a reason why I woke up today and felt like my head was going to pop off because of this. We have struggled with this all week. There's just been one thing after the other. And I can tell you, folks, we have got to remain together. Do not let Satan destroy this. There is a new building over there, and I told the leaders, I said, leaders, you have no idea what's coming, did I not? I said, there is going to be attacks that are going to be coming. This is just part of it. But we have to trust in God to help us get us through it. And that is this physical delivery. That is exactly why we talk about this today. So let's remain united. Let's stand firm in our faith. And let's trust Jesus Christ to get us through this so we will see a better day and we'll see a better day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us that you are in control, that this thing goes according to your will. And Father, I thank you for getting us through this. Satan will not stop us when we are strong in your son Jesus, and so that's what we lean on today. Be with us, I pray. Strengthen us as families and followers of you. I pray that we will spend this adequate time reading about you, praying to you, learning about you, and then ministering to others in your name. And Father, I pray today that you would help us to grow daily in our faith. Our goal, to be disciples. That's our goal, and I pray that you'll help us to do this today. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone. God bless.